Today's episode is made possible by Affinity Solutions. Unlock your business's potential with actionable insights into consumer spending, powered by Affinity Solutions. With exclusive insights from over 140 million cards, Affinity Solutions showcases consumer purchase behavior with unprecedented clarity. Seize the opportunity to reshape your strategy with accuracy, execute with precision, and measure with confidence. Affinity Solutions equips you to outperform in today's competitive landscape. Step into the future of analytics with Affinity Solutions today.
If you're sharing anonymized data to help me have a better shopping experience, whatever other platform I'm on, because now everything is a shopping mechanism, do I care if it's making my life easier? I'm saving time, I'm saving money potentially. No, I kind of don't care at all, right?
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, December 12th. Paul, Susie, Max and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by three people. Let's meet them. We start with our VP of content, who heads up our retail and e-commerce team based in New York. It's Susie David Canyon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hello, hello. Why, of course. We're also joined by one of our VPs of content who heads up our global coverage on advertising and media, tech and social. He's based just above the city. It's Paul Werner.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed. And finally, we have one of our senior analysts on the digital advertising and media desk based in Philadelphia. It's Max Willens.
Yo.
Hello, sir. All right, folks. Today's fact, ostriches don't bury their heads in the sand. So according to BBC's Science Focus, they're flightless birds, and so because of that, they're unable to build nests in trees. So they lay their eggs in holes dug in the ground. To make sure that the eggs are evenly heated, they occasionally stick their heads into the nest to rotate the eggs, which makes it look like they're trying to hide, hence the myth. They're also, you'll be terrified to learn, they can run 40 miles per hour for up to half an hour. So they'll outlast you if you think you're going to get away from them. I mean, no one can run at 40 miles an hour anyway, so you're in trouble if it does decide to chase you. They're also the largest bird in the world, and it's really not close. A male can reach close to 3 meters or 9 feet tall. That's terrifying. Victor Wembanyama, one of the tallest players in the NBA, is about 7'4", 7'5". So bigger than him. A bird chasing you at 40 miles per hour, bigger than him. Nope. Anyway, today's real topic, more very specific but highly unlikely predictions for 2024 Shark Tank style. So in today's episode, we'll cover three more very specific but highly unlikely predictions for 2024. We covered three in yesterday's episode, so you can listen to that if you want those. We have three more for you right now. Here's how the episode will work. Each person, Max is first, will have 60 seconds to pitch a very specific but highly unlikely prediction for 2024. Then the rest of us, me, Paul and Susie, and you folks listening, will decide if we are going to invest, air quotes, in his prediction. Invest meaning, do we believe in it? Then we move on to the next contestant, and then we basically repeat that. So Susie will be next, and then me, Max and Paul will become the panel. Each of our guests, Max, Susie and Paul, have a prediction each. Let's do it. We'll go back to Max, 1 minute on the clock. What's your next pitch?
All right. So glad that we wrapped up with a conversation about privacy, because my next prediction is a little bit less specific than the preceding ones, but it is that the next big high-profile lawsuit around digital privacy will involve a retailer and a retail media network. We have already started to see little examples of this because of how quickly retail media has started expanding outside of its own walls. So you think about where lots of marketers are most interested in leveraging the data that retailers have, and it's in offsite extensions like social media spending, like CTV, like in-store spending. And those kind of breaches of the garden walls are where there is the greatest potential for consumers to get freaked out by what's going on. And you've already seen a couple examples of this. So in June, there was an inquiry or a lawsuit where a bunch of consumers from Rite Aid alleged that Rite Aid had shared customer health data with Meta. In January, there was a suit in Canada where Home Depot was alleged to have shared customer data again with Meta. And I just think that as more and more people become aware of the fact that the things that they are purchasing on these retailers' websites is being used to sort of target them with ads elsewhere, it's going to potentially lead to a lawsuit that could, I think, really capture the public's attention.
Well, my take is...
You can give me your money now.
I think, first off, you know, Amazon in the U.S., so if we're talking about consumer privacy lawsuit, Max, can I assume you mean in the U.S. or...
Yes.
Okay, so Amazon controls 3/4 of the retail media market in the U.S., and that share is going to drop by fractions in the next few years, but they will continue to be a dominant player to the point that those monopoly lights start flashing. And the two cases you mentioned, Max, I think are probably also the tip of the spear. So it seems very, very likely that this will happen. It's also in line with the scrutiny around the Amazon in general and the scrutiny around Google with its ad tech and search practices. So yeah, I'm in.
So it's not that I'm not in, because I do think that they're doing some bad behavior stuff, but I also think that the majority, like, that's two cases out of a zillion others that are not surfaced, because I think consumers, the healthcare one is a bit sadder because, like, that's really personal information. But the Home Depot one, like, really, who cares if technically it's supposed to be anonymized, right? So, like, if you're sharing anonymized data to help me have a better shopping experience, whatever other platform I'm on, because now everything is a shopping mechanism, do I care if it's making my life easier? I'm saving time. I'm saving money, potentially. You're getting me at the right time. No, I kind of don't care at all, right? But if you start giving away information about me that is extremely private, or that is like my date of birth or address or that kind of stuff, then yeah, I care, right? And so I think there will be something probably, like, so that's the half buy-in. Will there be something? Yeah, but it'll have to be really scandalous kind of information that is shared for it to become the, like, example for everybody else to be mindful about.
All I heard was, I'm in.
I mean, I see those examples as supporting evidence, but I think the overall, in other words, I don't think the Justice Department is going to initiate an antitrust case against Amazon's retail media network because of the Rite Aid and Home Depot precedents. I think those, you know, I said they were the tip of the spear, meaning they are the tip, but there's like a big spear behind them.
Well, I mean, antitrust is more about volume and monopoly, right? So that's different than privacy.
Yeah, but I think they're related. And because I think that, first off, you know, there's plenty of supporting evidence to look at Amazon as a monopoly in retail media specifically, in other areas as well, but definitely in retail media. But I think privacy is one of the issues that will come up, because part of the problem with the way they're operating that business is that they are leveraging all this consumer data in ways that people may not be aware of and feel like they haven't opted into. So I could see that being one of the, in the same way that Google is being scrutinized for its ad tech, you know, practices, but also for some of these deals it's cutting with other companies that's restricting competition. You know, it all gets wrapped up into legal arguments that support the broader case.
All right. Time to decide. Are we in or are we out?
I already tipped my hand, so I stay in.
All right. Susie?
Me too. I'm half in.
Oh, I'm crying.
Now, is it – so I take it the half in that you were previously is a different half than this one, or is it like the same half twice? Or,
okay. Susie is all in on me and my
ideas.
That
is right.
That's how I'm
on the ideas.
It. Yes.
I'm also in. Yeah, the next digital consumer privacy lawsuit will involve a retail media network. So that's 2.5 people in. The best one so far. Susie, your turn. 1 minute on the clock. What's your second prediction for 2024?
So I was looking for provocative, thought-inducing, not necessarily to win your money because we're all one big team. And so I have a very specific one that is maybe a 2025. But I would like to start talking about it now.
That's the point of the show. All right.
Because I think it's really important. So I think...
Maybe save this one for a year.
Amazon will buy Hyundai. And the reason I think that's going to happen is because they just announced that they're going to start selling their cars on Amazon. You're going to be able to buy, first of all, when did anybody ever think that you would buy a car from Amazon? And Amazon has been sort of like rivalry with Tesla, and there's some rivalry with like X and the, also the, what's, who's the British guy who's doing the space station stuff. Like there's all kinds of,
Richard Branson.
Yes, thank you. There's all kinds of stuff happening in this like big tech sort of, see, you know exactly who I was talking about. There's the, all this stuff happening in that big tech sort of like get ahead, you know, power struggles. So this would solve a lot for Amazon because the partnership also not only includes buying the car. So that's the beginning part. It'll certainly help with their retail media, getting to know more about potential customers, having a whole different outlet. But the partnership includes cloud services. And it also means that the cars in the future will be better connected and to an Alexa, which will help, you know, with car commerce. Ooh. Like all kinds of things will happen all of a sudden with this partnership. And because, as we know, Amazon is $1 trillion plus market cap. Did you know that Hyundai is much smaller, obviously at $20 billion? But their brand, there were some brand studies, their brand is worth $20 billion. So it's under the value of the market cap. So I think Amazon could get a good deal because the market cap for Hyundai is $34 billion, but the brand is valued at $20 billion. So I think there's like room to play there in terms of like strategic negotiation.
I really like that you assess the disparity between market cap and brand value.
Taking this episode way too
seriously. No. I think that's really interesting. But I do have a question for you. So like historically when Amazon buys something, it is because they want to use the thing that they are buying to learn about a market that it wants to expand into. So it bought Whole Foods because it wanted to understand the grocery business, and it bought its stake in Rivian because it wanted to learn about the electric car business. And I'm curious what you think buying Hyundai does for their world domination aspirations.
So I think it brings them the idea around buying a car and being in that space that is more consumer facing than Rivian much more quickly. It's obviously not this, sorry, I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's not the coolest, sexiest brand alive. But I just don't think they can afford a nicer car brand necessarily that they can sort of take and re-envision with white gloves as they wish, sort of. And I say that with utmost respect for the Hyundai brand. I just mean, you know, there are other brands that have a different sort of cachet that wouldn't, mm-hmm. it wouldn't make sense to fix, kind of.
Well, I think in that sense, it's very subtle.
A couple points. First, anytime I hear, who's that British guy? My answer immediately is Marcus Johnson.
Marcus Johnson.
So obviously. I'm just going to, let's get that out in the open. Second thing I'll say is that if this deal happens, it supports Max's prediction about retail media. So, you know, I think Max probably has a vested interest in financing this one. I love this one. I don't know enough about the auto business to know, you know, what the real benefit would be. I could see actually Amazon buying Tesla, given the chaos in the Elon Musk universe and how he may get to a point where he needs to offload assets. And if that's the case, not totally far-fetched. I don't see any of this happening in the short term. So I think this is a long shot, but I have a soft spot for it because it's so...
Because it's so good.
You know, in a good way, Susie, off the wall.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's so a little good. Off the wall.
I feel like I won, you guys. I'm winning. All of a sudden, I won.
This is not a game for the billionth time. We do need to make decisions, though. Are we in? Are we out? Max?
I heard two ins there, just so you know.
1 second.
No, I'm out. I think it's really interesting, but
Max.
I think if they're going to get into auto, I think they would do, it would be more like they're going to buy Carvana. That would be what I would
Think. Yeah, I actually thought of Carvana as well, because when we were talking about, like, Susie, you were saying, you know, did you know you can buy, you know, a car?
But this is a new car.
What did you say? You can buy a car on Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Carvana.
They're used.
I mean, if you're in the new car business, being in the used car business makes a lot of sense. So Carvana would be an interesting one as well.
Pull you in?
I'm half in. I'm in because of the sort of romance of the idea and because it's off the wall.
Okay.
But I think that if it happened, which is, I think it's a long shot that it'll happen, and probably not this year if it did, especially given all the scrutiny that Amazon is under for other stuff.
Cool prediction. I'm out.
you guys.
It does sound, I think there are going to be people who do buy cars on Amazon. I do think there are going to be other car makers who start to sell their cars on Amazon. And so I think that will proliferate. We think about 5% of the auto and parts business is online, which doesn't sound like a lot. It's about an $70-80 billion business, which is more that's sold online in dollar terms than grocery. So it's a lot, even though it's a small share. I do think that could go up, especially with examples like Carvana and folks already showing that they are willing to buy things online. Whether they'll do that with Amazon, I think so. I think they'll get used to it and they won't mind the experience because they know they're going to Amazon for all the things, prices. And so I think that could be the case. But I'm out. I don't think they'll buy Hyundai next year.
And just for the record, if I can buy a car and through my Amazon Prime account get it delivered the next day on my doorstep, that I think that
next is, day delivery.
Yep. Well, or I even mean, same day delivery. But then you got to watch out for porch pirates because you definitely don't want your Hyundai being delivered or Hyundai
by a drone. Yeah,
you by a drone, and then have your neighbor pick it up. You know, pick it off your porch for you or from you.
All right.
That's why I got a doorbell cam.
You've got one. And a butler.
And a butler, well, yeah.
You've got one more for us. Your final prediction for 2024, 60 seconds. Let's do it.
Whoever wins the 2024 U.S. presidential election will owe their success to unprecedented and controversial uses of AI. If you look back at the relatively recent history of elections, you know, there was the MTV election of Bill Clinton in 1992. The internet was first starting to be used for campaigning at that time, but it obviously picked up a lot of steam later in the 90s and in the 2000s. And then I think Barack Obama's victory was in large part attributed to his very savvy use of social media and, you know, crowdfunding or soliciting small donations via the internet and social. This coming cycle is all going to be about some, frankly, very insidious uses of the technology. And not to bring up Argentina, because I know, Marcus, I just want to remind you that they won the men's FIFA World Cup last year, in case it wasn't on your radar.
Yeah, well, I read about it.
But the election that just took place there is you can look up a lot of articles where it says, is this the first Gen AI election? And the way that deep fakes were used to generate, you know, campaign noise and, you know, campaign propaganda, okay, I think is a very worrying sign for what's going to happen here next year. Mm. And by here, I mean the U.S., not Canada, by the way. No offense, Susie.
No, because we're honest in Canada. That's why.
Exactly.
You didn't.
Yeah, we don't lie about, oh, it's called a state, but really it's a commonwealth.
Paul, I like/hate all of this.
same, bro.
Can you
same
clarify bro. When you say, do you mean the presidential election or do you just mean the election, you know, the cluster of elections that will happen in, you know, in the fall of next year?
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, the 2024 okay. election cycle, but obviously the focus Got is going to be on the presidential election, but the tactics that campaigns use that the two, you know, leading parties will use in the presidential election will definitely filter over to, you know, the congressional elections and others.
Yeah, I just feel like maybe this is me betraying my own amateurish limitations as a political analyst, but I just, when I think about like the presidential election, the presidential race, it seems like both sides are so dug in. And granted, a lot of the country has been, you know, gerrymandered within an inch of its life, but I can see this kind of monkey business really, really affecting where, you know, you really just need a couple of votes here or there to decide who wins, you know, a state election, for example. So I could see this becoming a much more, unfortunately, influential part of what goes on, you know, further down the ballot.
Yeah, I would push back on that only because I think the presidential election, as most have been in recent times, has been close enough that
yeah.
any action in any state can tip the scales, you know, a few thousand votes here and there. And just the tenor of the discourse, if you can even call it discourse, is such that, you know, the tricks are going to get dirtier and dirtier. And AI is like a perfect, you know, breeding ground for that sort of activity.
And you know what I would say? It's I guess I'm just going to say what you said differently in that they're already doing it, right? They're already making fake commercials.
Of course.
Making the commercials that seem like they're from someone. They've clipped things together.
Right.
But if you're a little bit paying attention, you're going to realize that it's all clips from different sort of not in the right context with a little sponsored by, and it's the opposing.
Right.
Now it's just going to be more realistic, and it's going to be that much harder to see what's really fake versus actually poorly done photoshopping.
And part of what you describe is garden variety editing. And, you know, Victoria is a case in point where, like, she edits the show so that we all actually sound intelligent. But if you all were hearing the actual footage, you would know that, you know, we're all a bunch of bumbling fools. But, you know, Victoria makes us sound brilliant.
Except for me. I'm always brilliant.
Okay.
But yeah, I you know, part of the reason, I mean, I said unprecedented uses of AI, because I think it's just going to be taken to a level that we haven't seen yet. And that's why I agree with Max that this is something that I, you know, I hate as well, because it's not something as a as a consumer, as a voter, I don't want to see it. But unfortunately, I think we're going to see it.
Decision time, folks.
Are we in?
Are we out? Oh, Susie's in.
My first
Max,
full.
It's your first investment?
Full. My first full 100%.
Oh, that's true.
I'm in from the bunker that I will be moving into.
Come together.
Does that come with a second room? Does come
Max is going to finance this one with crypto.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, since you guys wouldn't invest in my first idea, I had to use Dogecoin to buy my bunker.
I'm in too. Yeah, I'm in, especially considering where people get their news. These days, 50% of people saying they get their news often or sometimes on social media, according to Pew. That's from like a month ago. And so I do think, and yeah, 20% say rarely. So only 30% say never. For those reasons, I do think that this could be the case. So that is, that's three for that one. So folks, that's the end of the show. Let's have a quick tally in terms of how those predictions did. I wonder what you guys at home invested in, but we've got AI. That last one, whoever wins 2024 US presidential election owes their success to unprecedented and controversial uses of AI. That had three investments, so that is in the lead in terms of how much we all believe in that one. Privacy, that was next. The next digital consumer privacy lawsuit will involve a retail media network. 2.5 investments, because Susie created a half investment right at the beginning of the show, which we all deeply regret. DOJ will rule that Google violated antitrust law. Two of us are in on that one. And then Apple buying WBD, Warner Brothers Discovery, just half an investment from Susie, and half an investment for Amazon buying Hyundai as well. And none, even though it's a really cool idea, Susie, I do hope that someone, whoever it is, whether it's Meta, whether it's Roblox, buying a movie theater and turning it into a metaverse playground. Very cool idea, but no one thinks it will happen in 2024.
I just want to add, it's not only going to be a metaverse playground. There's still going to be movies.
Okay, you can't. No, we've moved past it.
You
can't continue to pitch.
You guys misinterpreted. That's like my...
everyone in the show and Shark Tank is like, yeah, we're not. And she's like, 1 second. Like, if I could just, and security's dragging her out.
Once that bank vault door shuts, there's no getting back in.
Let me just tell you about.
I am not. I am all in on movies. I love movies. I'm not saying there should never be a movie theater. I'm just saying they need to find a different way to use the theater outside.
Edit, could you just play up the music and just like so it fades over Susie's voice as loud as possible? That's all we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Susie.
Thanks for having me.
Didn't feel genuine. Thank you to Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you to Max.
Always a pleasure, Marcus. Thank you.
Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, James, Stewart, and Sophie, who also make the podcast possible. Thanks to everyone for listening in, for also doing the same. We've been the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. Tomorrow, you can listen to the Reimagining Retail show, where host Sarah Lebo speaks with our analyst Ariel Fager and President, Chief Business and Marketing Officer for Affinity Solutions, Damien Garboccio.